I make happy those near to me, and those distant soon gather around. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you instant illumination. I make happy those near to me, and those distant soon gather around. It seems like happiness is a magnet. And when a person is happy, other people just gravitate to be with that person. They just enjoy being in that person's company. And that person has all sorts of happy people around that person. Now, how can that be? I make happy those near me. How do I make happy those near to me? By being happy. If I am happy, then I can see a crowd of miserable people, and to me, they will look happy. These people can have all sorts of problems, but to me, they will look happy. Now, is this sort of a silly comment, a stupid statement? When you think about it, what good does it do for me to see people happy if people are not happy? Well, all of life is attitude, attitude, attitude. All of life is attitude. Research has been done recently by scientists on meditation and the brain. And they gave something like 500 meditators, 250 of them, they gave some sort of a, I don't know what they gave them, but they gave them something. And my story is really good, isn't it? And so these people were tested for meditation. And, there were 500 people. 250 were meditators. That's what they were. 250 were into meditation, and they meditated. And so 250 were tested, just normal beings that they were, relaxed, happy people. And they came up to, let's say, the level 10. And the meditators, on the other hand, the level 10 on positive attitudes, the meditators, on the other hand, came up to a level like 50 on the positive attitudes, because they found that when they took certain testings of the activities that go on in the brain where it's happening, the non-meditators were all over their brain. The meditators were in the right forefront of their brain, which is where you do your positive thinking. And so the meditators were dwelling in the positive area of their brain, the right forefront of their brain, which is quite interesting. And they therefore were meditating on things beneficial to them, on things that were uplifting to them. And they were also a much more harmonious, happy group of people than the people who just plain normal thought, you know, no special meditation, no special movement into their inner self, being aware that they had an inner self, and listening to their life from that inner self level. I make happy those near to me, because I am happy. Now, these meditators are with each other. They're meditators. And people like to associate with people who are meditators. And people who don't meditate like to associate with people who don't meditate. That's the whole reason they don't meditate. They just think about things, but which we know by the dictionary definition, to think is to meditate. That every thought that goes through our mind is a meditation. But let's look at it from another point of view. A meditator that they're talking about is an active meditator listening to his divine within him to the highest that he can and to the most intent that he can. Whereas the average person just looks at life as whatever comes, comes, whatever is, and some things are good and some things aren't so good and some things are fun and some things aren't so fun. And acting on life from that point of view, then it is not... It's not, I wanted to say the word chance, but there is no chance. There is a lack of direction to what the person thinks about. Now, if you think about your car and you say, I have a wonderful car. I have a beautiful car. It just runs and does everything for me. Whenever I get in my car, I always feel like I'm in a special little world of peace and harmony and joy. Whenever I take my car someplace, I just feel so proud of my car and everything else. And then the person next to you says, hey, you some kind of clown? Uh-huh. What do you mean? Well, you have a 20-year-old car. Yeah. And your car is in good condition, but it's not a beautiful car. It's not like one of the new ones, you know. Well, so? Well, why do you say that it gives you so much pleasure? It gives you so much happiness? Because I love it. I have always loved it. All these 20 years that I've had it, I loved it. And I've always taken care of it. Oh, we have a few little scrapes and nets, dents and so forth in it, but that's no big deal. I didn't spend a lot of money straightening that out. I just put some polish over it and let it go. Because this is an older car, and to spend a lot of money on an older car is thought to be foolish, and so all I do is spend a lot of love on it. And I keep giving it love, and the car keeps running nice for me. It has never let me down. The battery has never run out of juice. The engine has never stopped in the middle of nowhere. Everything always works good. When it needs its service time, I take it in. When it needs checking, I take it in. And if I don't understand something, I take it in and have it checked over. I love this car. And the other guy says, well, I have my new car now, and I've got a new car every couple of years. And sometimes I get a lemon, and sometimes I get a good one. And the good ones are never as good as you described yours, because they oftentimes stop, boom, a brand new car, boom, stop right in the middle of the freeway. Boy, did I feel irritated. Did I feel ashamed of my new car stopping right in the middle of the freeway. Wow, that's terrible, you know. Well, our friend says his car never stopped in the middle of the freeway because he's always blessing his car. He's always surrounding his car with his pure white light of love. He's always enjoying his car. He's always happy with his car. And his car is happy with him. What, you mean a car senses your happiness? No, you sense your happiness. And you are the universal wisdom of the universe. And you know when your car needs love or attention or anything, and you give it to it. You give it to it. You know when your tires need to be replaced. You know when your car needs a special lube job. You know when anything needs to be done. You know that. You just know inside of yourself, but you won't listen. Well, I listen. And that's why I'm so happy. I listen within. And listening within, I create around me other people who listen within too. You know? And it's a wonderful world when you listen within. And I'm happy. I make happy those near to me, and those distant soon gather around. All the world loves a lover. You heard that? All the world loves a happy person. All the world loves a beautiful being. Like good-looking people all stand together. You know? Well, that's all we surround our table with, are beautiful people, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And all we surround our table with are lovers, right? Are right. Wealthy people, right?
Right.
Ingeborg?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
That's the word. Not yes, but right. Uh-huh. And we are happy people. And because of that, we only bring into our fold happy people. We have people who want to join us, and we say, fine. No drugs, no smoking, no drinking, and generally no sex on campus. And I don't mean generally. No sex on campus. You can do off campus what you want. But on campus, it is not a place where married couples ply their trade. And it's not a place where unmarried couples do the same. It is a place for strenuous schooling. You are in school here on campus. And it doesn't mean that you can't have a wife or a husband or a relationship. It just means during your time here, no. Yeah. Well, you mean there's no place for people on campus who are married? That's right. There's no place for people on campus who are married. People want to come here with their children and be part of the campus? It's a no. Now, why is it no? Well, for one reason. The children deserve and must be given by you a reasonable amount of attention. A reasonable amount of attention. You must see them up in the morning. You must make sure they have their breakfast. You must make sure that they're all set to go to school. You must see them off to the school bus. And then when it's time for them to come home from school, you must greet them at the school bus and bring them home and let them change their clothes and play clothes and get up busy and have fun and do whatever they want to do and have their dinner for them. You must help them do their homework, make sure they do it all correct. Now, this takes hours. This takes hours of your day. And from the hours of your day, you're taking away from the work that you could be doing on your in school here at the University of Healing. Now, how could you ever become a student of the University of Healing at home when you got to do all those things? That's right. Well, we make it very easy for you. When you're at home, we have you do the three readings of the lessons each day, which take 20 minutes each. So that's the three times two is what? Six? That's 1 hour. So 1 hour gone for reading the lessons, and then you do your work, or you're writing your essay you once a week, you know. Every Sunday you do your essay work and write your quizzes, and then you write your book reviews and things like that, and write your tape reviews. And there are three book reviews and three tape reviews. Now, over a period of 30 weeks, you certainly should be able to fit that in, you know. And then you do your thesis at the end, and that takes whatever time. And I mean, these are things that you would do. Now, when you're at home and you're doing your work around the house, you're doing your work at your job or whatever it is, and you come home, if these things are important to you, nobody cares whether you become a master of business, you know, business MBA, you know. Nobody cares, unless you do. And if you want to become an MBA, you will be good in your job and you'll get a better job, okay? You'll be getting better, higher pay, and you'll be more appreciated. You'll know your work better. Now, is it worth it? Then that means you're going to have to spend 5-6 hours every night when you come home from work, from school, when you come home from work to do your schoolwork, because that's demanding work. Now, if you're not going to do that, if you're going to dribble it out over a number of months or years, then that's what it's going to take you. And it'll be a number of months and years before you achieve your certificate as a MBA, okay? Now, we teach the spiritual path, and we teach how to walk your metaphysical path. And if you're going to walk your metaphysical path with no more interest than you would reading the Sunday paper, you know, it's so big you just flash through it and just pick up a highlight here and there, then that's what you're going to get out of it. If you give, wouldn't that be wonderful? If you would give the same motivation to doing your University of Healing course that you give to working on your MBA, you know? Mm-hmm. Wow! You would be done in 2 years, and you would have finished each of the courses, all three of them, and you would have done all of the lessons all over, and you would be a master, because you would have dedicated yourself 100% to doing it over just a 2-year period. That's, 52 weeks a year. And it's 30 lessons for one, 28 lessons for the other, and 37 lessons for another. And so that adds up to about 2 years, because each lesson takes you a week. And you read it 3 times a day, 7 days a week. And when you're done, you have refreshed your mind. You have retrained your mind, if that's what you want to do, along your spiritual path, along the realization of who and what you are. And miracles happen in your life. You are happy. You are happy all the time. You are fulfilled. Well, I took the course, and I did everything, and I'm not really fulfilled. That's right, you aren't. You're a cheater. How can you say I'm a cheater? You can't talk to me like that. And I said, no, but you talk to yourself like that. Did you read the lesson 3 times each day with a loving heart? Did you, at the end of 7 days, do the quiz and the essay on that lesson? Did you cheat? Did you cheat by not reading it 3 times a day, maybe reading it once? Or maybe reading the lesson in one sitting and then doing the quiz and essay and waiting till the end of the week to send it in? Hey, no change took place in you. You understood what the lesson said. You wrote down what the lesson says. You did the answers. But you didn't get any results. Ha, 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 ha. You cheated. You cheated. I can tell when people cheat. Because when people cheat, they have problems. Lots of problems. When people cheat, they don't know how to handle the problems. They don't know what to do. And you see, you can't do that. I make those happy around me, And the ones who are distant soon come too. Now, I give lectures all over the world, and I give my lectures from my heart, and I speak consistently from my heart about all the topics that are very dear to me. And the people just flock to me, wanting to take the courses, wanting to do this, wanting to do that. They're not interested in paying for it. They want it for free. And I say, whatever you pay for, it's what you're going to get out of it. You pay nothing, and you're going to get nothing out of it. If you don't pay for these courses, and you don't agree to pay for them, even if you don't pay for them right away, and you don't ultimately pay for them, you're not going to get it. You see, the benefit of the course is tied up in the total course. The benefit of the course is tied up in the total course. The course is doing 3 times a day, reading your lesson, and the quiz and essay after 7 days, and writing the book reviews and the tape reviews and the thesis. Now, you think that those are going to make you a spiritual master, and that's not true. Those merely give you the ammunition to be a spiritual master. But a spiritual master always pays his bills. A spiritual master always does what he agrees to do. We have students who are taking this on a scholarship sometime, and they don't even do the lessons. And one person said to us, I did them all, and now I'm just sending them in once a week so that you have it the way you want it. No. You're not getting any benefit from it. You do this, read this 3 times a day for a week. You know, this is a school, and you're not being tested, you're being fortified. You're being given power. And if you don't want to tank up with this power, you see, every time you read a lesson 3 times a day, you are adding an ounce of gas to your gas tank. And at the end of the week, you have added how many ounces?
7 ounces.
And at the end of the 30 weeks, how many have you added?
30 times 7.
And that's 210 ounces. And how much are 210 ounces? It's 16 ounces to a pound. Now, you see, if you short-circuit yourself and you only get an ounce for each lesson you do, you're only getting 30 ounces. And that's not very much. That's not very much. You see, people who apply themselves 100% to the program, whatever program it is, get a benefit from it. I love having people come here who have been in 100 different programs. Yogi, religious science, unity, divine science, every religion under the sun, Catholic, Buddhist, Christian, everything, you know. And then they come and they say, oh, but what you teach is so great. I said, no. What the others have taught is so great, but you weren't open to learn it, because they're teaching the same thing I'm teaching. But yours is so easy to see that right away what you're teaching. No, it isn't. Mine is the hardest of any religion to learn. And it's not a religion, but it's any philosophy to learn. And the reason it's the most difficult of any philosophy is that we don't have a Jesus doing it for you. We don't have somebody demanding that you do it, and somebody saying, if you don't do it, you're going to go to hell. We don't have any of these things going on. We have no subtle, not so subtle, motivation to force you to do what is going to benefit you. But the mother who loves her child encourages her child to study piano, in fact, forces her child to study piano, buys piano lessons for the child, and says, now you play. You practice a half hour every day. That's all, half hour every day. And when the kid is grown, he's in his own jazz band, and he's in his own this or that or the other thing, or he plays for friends, or like President Truman, he played a little bit, and so he played, and he was known as the piano-playing president, you know, even though he wasn't good. He was just on a lower level, but that's where he was happy. Now, where are you? What are you doing? What is your plan for yourself? Do you want to accomplish this being happy and having everyone around you be happy, near and far be happy? Or do you want to just be okay? It's up to you how you promote yourself in this course and how you plan yourself in your life program. Because it doesn't matter to me I'm always going to go out and tell the stories that I tell and have the joy in my heart and the enthusiasm in my spirit. And as I go around talking to people, they say, God, that's great. Oh, man, I'd like to. Can I come to campus? Can I do this? Hey, what do you want to come to campus for? You think you're going to, by rubbing against the rest of them at campus, you're going to be made into a holy person? No way. It's going to be your own effort. You're going to walk the meditation trail. You're going to listen to the divine within. You're going to do the chores around here with the proper attitude, being untouchable, being one-pointed, being unpossessed and non-judgmental. You know? You're going to be self-determined. You're going to be self-dedicated and self-diligent and self-disciplined. You're going to be experiencing unconditional love. And you'll love the members of your family as much as you love the people over in Vietnam, as much as you love the people in China, as much as you love the Europeans. You know, you'll love everybody equally, because that's what unconditional love is. That's what you learn here. That's what you learn through the lessons. That's what you learn when you make people happy who are near to you. Those who are distant soon gather around. For you are one, and the world is one, and everything is one. And because of that, whatever you are, your world is. Whatever your world is, it's a reflection of what you are. So this day, we've had another good one today, haven't we? So this day, join with me in making the most out of your life. You don't have to be in the University of Healing courses. You don't have to be at God Unlimited University of Healing here. You don't have to do any of these things. But you have to be true to yourself. And when you're true to yourself, then everything falls into place. And what we do here is train you in being true to yourself. So, y'all come.
Yeah.
Have a happy day. And I love you very much. And I see everything in your life. Supercalifragilistic expialidocious. I love you, I love you, I love you.